This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's time for the Great Clips postgame show. Great Clips, it's going to be great. Presented by Telemore Do. Because when it's game time, it's Telly time. Now, here are your hosts, Olin Krutz, Patrick Manley, and Mark Grody, filling in for Mully on Sports Radio 670 The Score. Always live on the free Odyssey app.
An unlikely but pleasing end to the game for the Chicago Bears. Bears win. Final score. From Minnesota, the Chicago Bears beat the Minnesota Vikings by a final score of 12-10. Cairo Santos with the game-winning field goal, only leaving a few ticks on the clock at the very end in a very chaotic ending to this game. As we do officially welcome you in to the Great Clips postgame show presented by Tullamore Dew, I am Mark Grody. Momentarily, we'll be joined by Patrick Manley and Olin Krutz. They will be reacting. I want to let you guys know, too, that we would love to hear from you as well on this postgame show. 312-644-6767. This is a good time to line up. Get in early. 312-644-6767. This game seemed to have been trending, gentlemen, in the direction of blown opportunities for the Bears off of their turnovers, but somehow, some way, the Bears win this game. Late in the game, Bears were up 9-3. All of a sudden, Josh Dobbs comes to life with a 17-yard touchdown pass to TJ Hockenson and makes it 10-9 Vikings. Bears get the ball back on a 3rd and 10, Justin Fields fumbled. It felt devastating, but the Vikings drive stalled on the Bears 45. Vikings did not have a good drive. Bears get the ball back with 2:30 left on their own 22. Justin Fields then redemption on a 3rd and 10, finds DJ Moore for 36 yards down to the 10-yard line, eventually setting up the Cairo Santos 30-yard field goal, and the Bears win. Olin Krutz, I will start with you, sir. What did you think of this game? Your first thought.
My first thoughts were that the defense was lights out, right? The defense now, I think that's 8 takeaways in the last 2 games. And just, held Dobbs. The Minnesota offense really couldn't do anything except for that one drive you mentioned where they went down the field. The Bears had some injuries in the secondary. But that trade for Montez Sweat started to look like a big trade. And then we keep asking for the ball in his hands at the end of the game. Can he make the play, right? 36 yards to DJ Moore. They win the game. Congratulations to them, man. I mean, hopefully, Pat, this starts to get loosen them up a little bit, where they can play, where they realize they can win games and get this offense going. But to see Justin Fields fumble twice and then hit a big play to DJ Moore, that felt good for them, I'm sure, today in that locker room.
Yeah, my first reaction, guys, is thank God. I couldn't go through it again if they'd blown another game like they did last week. And it was nice to see Justin Fields bounce back from those two fumbles, because I'm sitting there watching TV. I'm like, no, young man, I just don't want this to happen to you. You want greatness. You want these guys to succeed. And we're talking about, Olin, you've been talking about it. I want to see him in the game moments, right? And he had two of them, and he had two fumbles. And then he comes back and makes that throw to DJ Moore and wins the game. And that's what you ask him to do. But again, if you evaluate him thoroughly, you don't want those fumbles. But, man, again, thank God he came through and pulled that game out. And, yeah, man, that defense – there's something. Okay, Minnesota is a mediocre team offensively now with Joshua Dobbs, but they dominated. So think about the last two games. They've only given up 23 points to this Minnesota team, one with Kirk Cousins at quarterback and the other with Joshua Dobbs. But this defense is really coming together, and they're fun to watch. And, you know, they talk about takeaways come in bunches, and I think we've seen that. So like you said, Olin, 8 takeaways in two games. But what is concerning to me is 3 points off of 4 takeaways. And you just can't have that. That's not good enough. I don't care, about the Brian Flores defense or whoever it is. You've got to score more points there if you want to be more successful. But again, thank God we won the game.
Yeah, I mean, that's the absolute bottom line. Bears 12 and Minnesota 10. It is interesting when you dig into this game and the defense literally handing the ball to the offense throughout it and just coming up with 3 on a couple of occasions. Too many times where the Bears offense early on just was not up to it. So I guess I'm going into the Justin Fields and this Bears offense as a whole conversation here right away, because although Justin Fields looked great on that final drive, the 36 yards, there was still too much that didn't happen in this game to where I'm not sure if I could check the box for Justin Fields in terms of this being convincing for his future with the Bears and the future in the NFL. What do you guys think?
Yeah,
no, definitely not. Yes. Right. Definitely not. I mean, we all know what we watch. We watch the offense struggle. We watch the defense put on a show. And I'll be honest with you, I've been a part of a lot of games like that here in Chicago. Right. And watching Jalen Johnson, even though he dropped that pick 6, close to the best player on the field tonight, man, dominating on his side of the field with tackles, covering his receiver, Montez Sweat, Yannick Ngakoue, Justin Jones, Javon Dexter. They gave that Vikings offensive line hell all night. TJ Edwards, Tremaine Edmonds, linchpins of this defense that we're watching take a step. Now, like you're saying, Grody, we're not going to go overboard here, right? We all know what we watched tonight. We watched the offense struggle mightily, right? They struggled mightily tonight. No, this is not the performance you wanted for Justin Fields. But, Pat, we've been asking for him to win the game at the end of the game. I'm hoping that gets him going a little bit, right? But today, for me, Pat, I don't know about you, too much of him in the pocket, right?
Yep.
Too much first down throws, too much not staying on schedule. After that first 9-minute drive, I thought they would just stick with that kind of game plan. They kind of went away from it. I thought Getsy struggled a little bit against Flores. And look, why Coach Flores went away from the blitz, that's up to him. I'm thankful he did.
Yeah, my biggest problem today was was Getsy. I mean, how many times did we see the screen game? You know, Traikman was laughing at the end that the rookie was picking out that they were going to throw that, you know, little screen game to him. I understand they're trying to target DJ Moore. I think they targeted him. Well, he had 11 receptions, but I don't know how many targets it was. But they're trying to get in the ball. But to me, I was sick of it. You were seeing too many negative plays or zero gain yards on that play. I think I tweeted during the middle of the game, Roschon Johnson was rushing for 4.8 yards per carry. Mm-hmm. I would like to see more of the run game. Just line up and run it. I mean, that's your strength of the team. Just give them more of an opportunity up front to kind of run the ground game at him. But I think Luke Getsy got, you know, beat by Brian Flores again, but they did come up with a win. But I just was not impressed with the game plan. You know, what we saw last week I thought was a step in the right direction. I understand you're going against a different defense, a different play caller with the blitzing and all that stuff, but there's a lot of things that Getsy could have done to, I think, scored points. That'd be the answer.
Yeah, you know, Grody, some of those runs, as Pat knows, some of those screens, as Pat knows, are choice by the quarterback, right? They're zone reads. So the zone reads, and you have another, it's almost like a spread out triple option, right? And he's some of those, I'm sure Getsy will say, he thought Fields read wrong, and he shouldn't have thrown the pass. He should have either ran the ball or kept it on the run. So I'd be interested, Pat, to go back to the all 22 and see how many of those were actually called or were choiced by the quarterback to throw it out there to the receiver. But to the bigger point, right, the quarterback and the play caller are struggling together right now. Mm-hmm. And if you ask me, Flus has a decision to make up there at Halas Hall, man. I mean, like, we got, what do we got now? Where are we? Five games left?
Yes.
With Justin Fields? I mean, I don't know. I mean, I don't know what you think, Rhoda. I don't know what you think, Pat. But it's not working, right? It's not working right now on offense. It almost seems like they get to a point of calling plays for Justin Fields, and he's run out of ideas, right? And we don't need that with Justin Fields, right? We don't need that. We need something else, something more creative, more quarterback runs, more things that Justin Fields can do, because right now they look stuck in the mud against teams like the Vikings.
Well, what I'll say is, like, again, the Justin Fields looked good at times on that very first drive where he had back-to-back plays where he bought time with his legs, found Khalil Herbert on one of them, found Roshan Johnson. One of those was a third down play as well. And that to me, I'm like, you do that. Like, you buy, because that is your superstar skill, your feet. So we saw him doing that and then finding guys. If he's able to do that consistently, the guy is going to be a star. But the problem is that he just doesn't do it consistently. And then I'll go to in the second quarter, the busted drive after the Jalen Johnson pick. It's 3-0 Bears. The Johnson takes it to around midfield. Kyler Gordon gets the taunting call for taking his helmet off. Two more penalties after that, and then the punt after Fields almost got Darnell Mooney killed on a third down play, on that third down where he waits too long to hit him and then overthrows him. So, that is like two moments of you see some really good stuff and then bad stuff. And I realize a lot of the bad stuff, too, was within the penalties there, but they were just opportunities that you look at and say, how are you not capitalizing and how could you be so sloppy?
Yeah, and this team is not good enough to overcome those. I mean, every now and then Justin Fields will rescue you with his legs or whatever, but you just can't have that with this team right now. You can't have it with any team, really, but that's the sign of a bad offense when you're having penalties like that. You can't have that happen.
No, listen, I mean, we're not confused, right? That was a terrible game by the offense. Mm-hmm. Not enough points. Didn't put the ball in the end zone. And then, Cairo Santos missed that first field goal, right, which hurt them. Mm-hmm. They were a 9-minute drive. You miss a field goal, it takes some momentum away from you. They didn't move the ball enough after two drives, as Grody mentioned. But for a team that we've been saying for weeks now, they beat themselves. Losers find a way to lose. All these things we've been saying. Today, they found a way to win, no matter what, you know, it's usually us complaining about why the hell did Flus go away from the blitz?
Right.
Right. Why did you get safe there? Well, now the Vikings, either their sports radio, I hope they have fun this week. I'm used to it, right? It's not going to be very fun. Trust me. You got to pick a part of the game. You got to find everything wrong. Justin Fields did not have a good game. You do not say tonight, well, with that, if you had the first pick of the draft, you don't take a quarterback. That wasn't erased tonight. But what was the question that was answered, Pat and Mark, is the question that we've been asking. Can they find a way to win? Winners win, right? Mm-hmm. They found a way to win. Can it start something for them or for Justin Fields is a question that you have as you go on through this season. Because when Hockenson caught that ball and Eddie Jackson didn't drive on him, we in our text chain, we said, what's going to happen when it's 10-9 and Justin Fields has the ball, right,
yep,
Pat?
Yep.
That's what we asked. And that was when it was 9-3, Grody. We asked that when it was 9-3. When it's 10-9, what's going to happen? Well, he hit last week, throw the damn ball to DJ Moore to win the game. Guess what they did today?
Yep.
Threw the damn ball to DJ Moore, right? Yes. That happened today. I know everything else that happened during the game, but that did happen.
Yeah, we'll give a lot more love to the defense, too, but obviously these are the things that we've been talking about all season long. And, yeah, to your point, Justin Fields makes a play, because that's what we were screaming about last year. Somebody make a damn play. Now, I know that that was on defense, but they did have that in this game. Fourth quarter, Kyler Gordon comes up with a big pick that could have gone to Justin Jones, who made the play, deflected it. It pops into Gordon's hands. So the difference between this week and last week was that you did have, in some regards, is that you did have guys making late plays in this game. And yes, the Bears won the game. Bears 12, Vikings 10. That is to be celebrated. Game-winning field goal for Cairo Santos of 30 yards to get the W for the Bears, who are now 4-8 on the season. The Vikings even at 6-6. As you are listening to the Great Clips postgame show presented by Tullamore Dew, along with Olin Krutz and Patrick Manley. I am Mark Grody, Sean Sears, producing the show in our downtown Chicago studios, and we're taking your calls starting right now at 312-644-6767. I see all you guys lining up, and let's start with Mark in Lowell, Indiana. Hello, Mark, you're on the Score. Marky Mark. We don't have Mark. All right.
He's like the Bears
offense.
We'll
move on. Let's.
I'm here.
Oh, there he is.
Mark, what's up, man?
A little late to
Mark,
the show.
You got to make a play, man. You got to make a play, dude. Like, let's go.
I was like, I'm Poles. You see his face on TV. He's watching the game just like I am, saying, I give you all that talent, and that's all you can do with it. And I know he's going to bring more talent to this team, but he's watching that game like I am. Like, no, this coaching staff's got to go. That's my bottom line. I don't like them, and I don't know how you guys feel about it, but I know Pat, even his special teams, you can't even like that special teams that they put out there. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Pat. I'm gonna start with you. So, Pat, you can't like that special teams, could you?
No, I don't. I don't like the punt return yardage they gave up. I don't like the touchbacks and all that stuff on punt. But you know, this okay. You're talking about the coaching changes. That potentially could happen. But they have a five-game season left, right? And what happened today is you kind of got over the hump a little bit, I think, in that locker room, what you were talking about, Olin, earlier. They have a little bit of belief now. They believe they can go win a game. As we're sitting there at home thinking, how are they going to screw this up? They might be thinking the same thing on the sideline, but now they went out there and they won the game, and they now have some belief. So the next five games, be a little bit more fun for them. You know what I mean? Now they go out there, they can prove they can win a tight game, come from behind. Justin Fields pulled it out. So we'll see what they do in the next five games. There's going to be a whole lot more stuff talking about coaches being fired, GMs being fired, or whatever during the offseason. But right now, for the next five games, they gave themselves a little belief and saw themselves pull out a win.
Yeah, and you turn right around and you get the Lions and the Browns, right? Mm-hmm. And the Cardinals, and then you end with the Falcons and the Packers. So to Mark's point, man, I mean, just like Justin Fields is not off the hot seat after that performance tonight, the coaching staff isn't either, right? But we talked about in the pregame show, would Coach Flew's match up well? I thought the Vikings had an advantage on their coaching staff over the Bears coaching staff. Coach Flew's put on a show tonight, guys. He put on a show tonight calling the defense, getting his guys in position to make plays. His defense, Pat, me and you have seen this Cover 2, Tampa 2 style defense perform like this. Alex Brown and Lance Briggs always scolded me on post-game shows saying, Olin, it's takeaways. When you say turn it over, you're implying that the offense just gave it to us. They didn't. We took it away from them. And that's what the defense is doing right now. They're putting so much pressure on the offense that they're taking the ball away. Like you said, Grody, Kyler Gordon there to catch it. Jalen Johnson with a pick. He almost had another pick six. That would have been five interceptions. That is crazy, man, the amount of pressure and them getting after the ball that they have been doing the last 2 weeks. And even as bad as the Vikings are, remember the Lions record, and they'll see the Lions again. But no one is saying, guys, that the coaches and Fields are off the hot seat.
No, but you go back to Flus, man. He's been calling some great games. I mean, he's dialing up blitzes where guys are coming scot-free, and that's coaching. You need both. You need guys to make plays. You need guys to and coaches to make plays. That's a coach making a play. So, you know, as we've talked maybe the last 5 weeks, Eberflus's defense has really stepped up, and now with Sweat being here, it's making a difference up front. Javon Dexter is making a difference up front. Olin, we talked about in the pregame, I was nervous that maybe he would take a step back late in the season. Sometimes the rookies hit a wall, and they're not ready to play these extra games that are, you know, extra games compared to what you've done in college. I've been impressed, And I was not impressed earlier in the season how he was playing, but I'm really impressed now how he stepped up his game. Now he looks like he's much more comfortable in this one-gap scheme compared to his two-gap scheme in college. So I got to give that young man credit as well. So that whole D-line has really stepped up.
Yeah, we talked about in the pregame that we thought he should be starting, right? Javon Dexter maybe should be starting there. And look, I know it's going to shock a lot of people, but if you go out and give someone a player who's worth $98 million, $98 million, it improves your defense, right? Same thing, if you find somebody like that on offense, it'll improve your offense. And we keep talking about when you put these rosters up now, Grody, I'm sure you see the same things. When you put the Bears roster up against another team's roster, you say to yourself, you know what? This doesn't look that bad anymore, this matchup, right? Like, we've been talking about that, and they're starting to show that they do have talent on the field. The game was not good on offense. Justin Fields, two fumbles, it looks bleak. And all of a sudden, you got Justin Fields, a first-round pick, throwing it to DJ Moore, another first-round pick. Players make plays at the end of games.
That's right, and Montez Sweat had just a badass sack on a third down. I believe it was in the first quarter, and he just manhandled the quarterback. I mean, it was great to see that out of Montez Sweat, especially early, just to say, yo, I'm here after, everybody wanted more from him, literally being on the field more. You guys talked about the Jalen Johnson pick, beautiful catch, actually, on that one, where he goes up high, grabs it with both hands, and then was looking to take it as far as he could. We mentioned the Kyler Gordon pick in the fourth quarter. Second quarter, Jaquan Brisker grabbed a nice diving interception, which actually went off the hands of Jordan Addison, and then TJ Edwards with a pick off the Jalen Johnson deflection there and forced them to go for a field goal at the time. So every interception had its story, and I wanted to make sure I gave props to all of those guys because that is why they won the game. The defense wins the game, although Justin Fields, a massive pass to DJ Moore for 36 yards in the final seconds. Bears beat the Vikings 12-10 the final. We go to Dean in Wrigleyville. What up, Dean? You're on the score with Olin Cruz, Patrick Manley, and me, Mark Grody.
Moby, Ditka, great to be on the line with you. Olin, an honor, and Patrick Manley, love the long snapper IPA. Real quick, guys, I'm torn on a lot of this. I think Justin Fields looked fantastic early, and then there was that rough tackle. I think there was like four penalties at that point. It looked like he got hit in the helmet, and it was kind of a rough tackle. I know this isn't a light tackle league. He wasn't suplexed, but he seemed a little dazed on the next thing. And then, I wonder if he was concussed. Then he had two fumbles later. I'm not going to blame any head injury on that. The defense was awesome. Four interceptions. They didn't get two of those fumbles. My main thing is Getsy needs to go. Before they hit the tarmac, they need to put him on a megabus or a Greyhound to Chicago. There's no way Luke Getsy should be getting on that plane. Screen left, screen right was literally, I don't know the numbers, 35, 40% of the play calls. You have DJ Moore. Send the ball down the field. Mooney was looking fine. St. Brown looked fine. He had some great blocks. Throw him into the mix. The other thing is I'm worried about Eberflus. I mean, does he keep the job with this defense? The defense looks great. But, again, Getsy needs to go. Do you keep Eberflus? It's a tough one. And then lastly, I'm watching this, talking to my buddies on the chat threads. We all wanted to win this game, right? And you guys had said it earlier. A win is a win is a win. But isn't the fourth or fifth pick worth more than the eighth pick? It's all moot if we're keeping Justin Fields, but then that's another question.
Right. Thanks for the call, man. I'm sorry to cut you, but we are up against the break. Is that you laughing over there, Olin?
Yeah, man. It's as Dean is saying, it's complicated. It's a complicated issue, but I'm going to enjoy the win anyway.
100%. So are they in that locker room. Yeah. But he did have an interesting point, though, about Justin Fields and being concussed. And I know the play he's talking about where he did hit his head on the turf. And I thought the TV did a great job of zeroing in on his eyes on the next play. Do you guys notice that? That they kind of showed him, looking around the field. And I was the same, wondering the same thing. Was he concussed? Because he did hit his head on the ground, and they showed his eyes. And he looked completely dialed in. Olin, we've been around enough guys who've been concussed, and we know what they kind of look like. And, that made me feel better that they did that kind of shot and it showed he was fine. So I don't think he was concussed.
Listen, yeah. I stayed at a Motel 6 last night, but I'm no doctor.
Yeah, exactly.
That's Olin Krutz, and that is Patrick Manley. I am Mark Grody. This is the Great Clips post-game show presented by Tullamore Dew. It's a Bears win. Bears 12, Vikings 10. Bears with four takeaways, four interceptions in this game. They only scored 3 points off of them, so we're keeping it real here. It's a win. It's a win, and some really cool things happened at the end, but the overall, this was not particularly convincing. I'm going to ask the guys a little bit more about Luke Getsy and what kind – if did he have a good game? Did he have a bad game? I'm going to ask Olin Krutz and Patrick Manley that when we return. Plus, we're going to get to a bunch of your phone calls. We get to be with you talking about this Bears win until midnight tonight. So keep the calls coming, 312-644-6767. It's the Bears winning postgame show on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
We're back with more of the Great Clips postgame show. Great Clips, it's going to be great. Presented by Tullamore Dew. Because when it's game time, it's Tully time. Now, here are your hosts, Olin Krutz, Patrick Manley, and Mark Grody, filling in for Mully on Sports Radio 670 The Score. Always live on the free Odyssey app.
Third down and 9 as a result of the first two plays. And now a sack for Montez Sweat. Traded from Washington at the deadline. They've locked him up for a four-year extension, and he gets his second sack with the Bears, a loss of 8. It's fourth down.
Yeah, big sack on third down from Montez Sweat way back in the first quarter of what turned out to be a Bears win. Bears 12, Minnesota 10. The Bears did dominate a lot of these statistical categories, but there were some very disappointing things with the offense in this one. 3 points off of four takeaways and just a lot of frustrating moments, despite one of the great moments of the game, and that was the third and 10 Justin Fields pass to DJ Moore for 36 yards to get the ball down to the 10 and set up the Cairo Santos game-winning field goal with time running out. The Bears win by 2. And I'm going to ask Olin Krutz and Patrick Manley more about Luke Getsy here in a second, but I want to go back to the phones here because a lot of people want to jump in, so we'll start with a call and then we'll talk about Luke Getsy. Let's get to Calvin in Chicago Heights. What's up, Calvin? You're on the score with Krutz, Manley, and Grody.
How are you guys doing tonight?
Great, man.
I'm really confused about the fact that you guys it was good they won the game, but was Justin Fields calling the plays tonight?
No.
Well, I keep hearing you guys say, well, we don't know if he's the guy or we need to move on from him. Doesn't he call the plays that Getsy was calling, the play calling? So that's what I'm trying to figure out.
I got you. You're saying you do not like Luke Getsy. You don't like the way he called the game?
Yeah, but you're saying that we still don't know if Justin Fields is the guy. He's only doing what the coach is telling him to do.
But he did have two fumbles in the fourth quarter, correct?
I understand that.
Yeah, but I'm just saying this too. He did. So when I love what I wanted to do is see him win, right? And he did. And he finally came through in the fourth quarter. But if you're evaluating an entire game, an entire individual, you have to take everything into account. I'm very happy he won that game. But if you're evaluating for his future for the Bears and everything, you would hope he wouldn't have those fumbles, that he would win the game maybe a little bit easier of not turning those balls over, you know, winning it just kind of maybe in a fourth quarter, a 4-minute offense of just running out the clock because they get the other field goal and go up 12-3 or whatever at that time. So it's just a big evaluation of him. I'm happy the young man came through at the end. I really am, and I hope he continues to grow from that. But, yeah, it's not all on him. Luke Getsy, I don't think, called a great game either. But he didn't play a perfect game. He didn't play a good game. He played a mediocre game. But in the end, he did win the game, and that's a fact.
I think to your point, Pat, and to also what Calvin's talking about, and when you brought up those two fumbles, that was just, you know, that's like bringing out the ace of spades when you're playing spades. But
what about the fumbles?
I think maybe it's time to find out. You know what I mean? And you hate talking about a guy, Coach Getsy losing his job or whatever it may be. But we know that marriage just isn't working between him and Justin Fields.
Yes.
And I don't know if the Bears have time to wait, right? I don't know. You have 5 games left. You have to draft. You're going to get a high pick in the draft. You might be considering a quarterback. We'll see what happens here in these last five games and where the Bears all end up. But you're going to have to make a decision on Justin Fields at the end of this year. And as we're saying, he threw that ball at the end. There were some plays in here today, right? There was the 4th and 10 that Eberflus went for on a second drive and hit Cole Kmet. That's a big play, but not enough of them. The two fumbles have you worried about Justin Fields. We have to find out now, is Getsy calling bad plays or is Justin Fields not making plays?
Right.
And I think it's fair to say, and I know this is the cop-out answer, but clearly there is a combination of that. You want to pick apart Luke Getsy's game tonight? Absolutely. I totally get it. I understand it. But you know, you think about the timing of the fumbles, too. These are not like early you can recover from fumbles, and the Bears did recover, but you don't usually recover. Let's face it, the Vikings did not play well tonight. That did not look like a good football team the Bears were playing tonight. But in the fourth quarter, Kyler Gordon gets the pick off of Justin Jones, and then the Bears get the ball right there. That's when you're supposed to make a play. Fields comes up with a fumble at that point, and that's just an absolute killer. And then all the other times in this game today where the defense set the offense up time after time after time with really good field position, and the best they were able to get out of those opportunities was a couple of field goals, and it was bad. It was bad, and it was sloppy, and there was more to it than just Justin Fields. But this is not a game, unfortunately, where I check the box for Justin Fields, and I want Justin Fields to succeed. Well, let's go to Dave in Slinger, Wisconsin. What's going on, Dave?
Hi, Mark, Alden, and Pat. How are you guys?
We're good.
Dave, what's up, man?
We finally beat somebody in our division, and now after this win, let's think of the game ahead. We one game at a time, but let's get Detroit and let's beat Green Bay. We finally beat somebody in our division. You think this team can start a win streak, and maybe we're not going to make the playoffs, but get good picks in the future, I think, looks bright for the Chicago Bears. What do you think?
Well, thanks for the call. And, Olin, it's too bad the Bears blew the Detroit game, because that's exactly where you could have been heading right now. I mean, you mentioned the schedule. This is they get their bye now. They get Detroit at home, which obviously will be challenging. But I think that you have to like the Bears' chances in that based on what they did to Detroit last time. Then they're at Cleveland, home Arizona, and Atlanta, and then at Green Bay. You know, there's not a whole lot. And I know Cleveland's been good, but these are winnable games, I think. So it is too bad they blew the game against Detroit in terms of actually stacking wins, if people want to talk about that.
Yeah, and stacking wins in your division, right? And
yeah,
they can
yeah.
do that next week. And you're right, Mark, and Dave's right too. The Lions are a team they dominated in Detroit, right? They dominated them for 3.5 quarters and then lost the game. So they even though they lost a game, they have to feel good about the Lions coming to Chicago next week at noon. And they have to feel good about their matchup in that game. You know, I saw DJ Moore. You just, at this time of the year, Pat, as you know, you're always worried about guys being bumped up. So we'll see what their injury report looks like come Monday or Tuesday. But if they are fully healthy, they do match up well against these Lions, and they proved that. And you know, the one good thing, Pat, even though it's crazy to say it, I thought it happened was they got in a position where they couldn't play it safe with Justin Fields. They had to put the ball in his hands, and he had to throw the ball down the field, and it was good to see them do that.
Yeah, it was great. And then, you know, they got the bye week, so maybe they can heal up a little bit here. But I think the biggest question is, if they do go on a little bit of a run here, is Eberflus' job already gone? Does he save his job? Does he save anybody else's job? What is Kevin Warren going to do? What has he already evaluated? I don't know if they've dug themselves so deep that it doesn't matter what happens. You know what I mean? Maybe just Ryan Poles wants it to just the guys to continue to grow, and then they're going to work with a different coordinator, a different head coach or whatever. So I don't know where they stand in that regard, but I think just for that locker room and building for the future, because most of those guys are going to be coming back, when you start stacking those wins, you get that confidence. I talked about it earlier. Now you've got over the hump now, the Justin Fields, you've got a win, you pulled one through, and you feel a little bit more confident in each game going into those situations. So it's good growth for the team, but I think the biggest question is, who's coming back as far as coaches,
general manager, where are they going in that direction? But for the next five games, it'll be nice to see them keep growing because they do have some winnable games.
Right, and what will Kevin Warren's part in all of this be as well? Where will he exactly impose his will? And that's something that I want to talk with you guys about later. We got to take a break, but you know, there was, I've talked about this a couple of times over the last week while it was the holidays and everything's kind of, you know, people are changing their habits and all, but Albert Breer of Sports Illustrated saying that, you know, that he believes that Ryan Poles wants more power on the football side of things, which is A-okay with me, but we'll talk about that a little bit later on. Much to discuss still about this Bears win. Bears beat the Vikings 12-10. One thing we do eventually have to get into is we talked a little bit about the decisions defensively for the Vikings and Flores not putting much heat on Justin Fields towards the end of that game. And the other thing that I know they're talking about in Minnesota, and I want to pick your guys' brains on this, was the Vikings going for it on 4th and 7. And that's on Kevin O'Connell, so I want to figure out what you guys think about that and more of your calls at 312-644-6767. I'm Mark Grody. This is the Great Clips postgame show presented by Tullamore Dew. Bears beat the Vikings 12-10. More coming up on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Lining up on that Viking logo at the 49 of Minnesota, Chicago 3rd and 3. Fields in the gun, moves his receiver, shotgun snap, backpedal 7, winds up, line drive pass, near side, caught 39-yard line, near sideline, grabbed by Moore, then quickly brought down in the play by Blackman. On the near sideline, at the 40 of the Vikings, a strike of 10, a first down for Chicago.
Yes, we got ourselves a pass play! 10-yard out, down the field, nice throw as the corner was falling off. Good throw right on the numbers of DJ Moore to protect him from that hit and get the first down.
All right, welcome back to the postgame show. The Chicago Bears finally win a game. We started the show with my reaction of saying, thank God. But the Bears only had 3 points off of 4 takeaways. Olin, it feels good to win finally. I mean, it's been a while for those that team to win a game. You go into a bye week and you get a win. I mean, what did that? You know, how good is that for you going into a bye week when you finally get a win? You get to enjoy the time off, and it just feels better going into meetings.
It really does. And to answer a few questions, right? And the defense came out, and we talked earlier in the show about the performance they put on and the performance Coach Eberflus put on and win one. For your coach who's been under a lot of fire. And as we know, Pat, you hear the things people say, mm-hmm. right, about your coach, about firing him, moving on, and all of a sudden you put on a performance where you only give 10 points up there in Minnesota. We all know that's not Minnesota's starting quarterback, but you can only play who they put on the field. And then Justin Fields answers the question at the end of the game that I know I've been and we've been posing for weeks. Can he win a game late with the ball in his hands? He hasn't done that a lot in the last few. Well, they haven't done a lot of winning, period, in the last 2 years. But just to win a game, we've talked about earlier in this show that we've all seen what that game was, what happened in that game. We all seen how bad that offense looked. We all saw the 2 fumbles, but the defense was dominant, mm-hmm. and the offense made the play at the end to win the game.
Now, real quick, Gertie, you know, Olin, I'm here reading the text screen, and they're getting on us about you're still ripping Justin Fields. You know, some people say I hate Justin Fields. Some people say, you know, whatever's going on with Justin Fields. But you have to look at the big picture. This man is competing and playing for basically a $200 million contract. You know, yes, I want him to win, but if I'm grading him, if I'm Ryan Poles, if I'm the Bears organization, you got to look at everything. Those 2 fumbles to me are part of the game. You know, they could have not walked away with the game, but it would have been a little different ending. Maybe he didn't have to win it in the final 2 minutes, but I just want to get my point across to the listeners who think I hate on Justin Fields. I don't. I want him to be great. I want him to be the answer. But the thing is, like I just said, you want him to be great. I just don't want him to be good. I want him to be consistent. I want him to be the guy you win games because of, not with. In this game today, I thought last week was much better. Today he won the game. He checked that little box. But if you're going to be great, you've got to check all the boxes. And that's what I want to see.
Yep, you need touchdown drives. Touchdown drives, and that was not going on during this game with great field position on way too many occasions. After each and every one of those picks, the Bears were in prime spots to drive and score touchdowns, and they were not able to. So, yeah, it is a delicate balance here tonight. There's no doubt the Bears win this game. It, you know, 12-10, the final score, four takeaways, but they only scored 3 points off of those takeaways. We're not just going to forget that that happened, nor will we forget that Justin Fields found DJ Moore for 36 yards down to the 10-yard line. That was a big-time clutch play, guys, and he deserves the plaudit for that, but you can't just, you know, turn the other way when it comes to the big picture in this game. Are you going to beat good teams like that? No, you're not.
No, and Olin, if you could do me a favor, do us a favor, the listeners, you educate us a little bit of, you know, I talked about the screen calls. Were those thrown out there because they stacked the box and that's what they were supposed to do? Could you maybe explain what those calls are and maybe if they weren't just called screens, of why they happen?
Some of them were called screens, obviously. You know, when they get behind the sticks, they play it safe, which sometimes you don't want to see with a young quarterback, right? Like where the Bears are in the process of deciding what Justin Fields is to them. I just don't really like seeing those plays a lot, Pat, right? I want to see him either process information, move around the pocket, make a play like he did early in the game, right? We're talking about that 4th and 10, yep, where he negotiated the pocket, Kokomet fake, like he blocked, released, and caught a 24-yard pass. But to your question, Pat, on some of these ones that he's popping out there to the receivers, it's almost like a triple option, mm-hmm, right? Either it's a zone read, basic zone read, give the ball to the running back, read one of the defenders, or Fields keeps it, or by pre-snap, it's just, they call it basketball out there, right? If it's 2-on-3, you have three guys and you can block, you whip it out there to DJ Moore. Earlier in the game, you remember it could have been St. Brown having good blocks on those.
Yes.
And then Minnesota kind of figured it out, almost baited him, Fields, by giving him a pre-snap look into throwing it out to his receivers and running somebody over there real quick. So to your point, Pat, a lot of those that a lot of listeners and people on the watching the game are yelling about screens that Getsy is calling. It's really a triple option decision by the quarterback. Where are the numbers? Is the numbers in the box? Do I keep it or do I pop it out to my wide receivers?
And to me, the idea is there, right? The idea, mm-hmm, of the numbers and making those throws, but then you got to see as the game goes along that the guys aren't making the blocks. The guys aren't executing. So if I'm a coordinator and I'm realizing that they're not working, my call is not working, my guys can't block it, they can't execute it, you've got to find something different. That's just my opinion, and I think that's sometimes coordinators or coaches, they get too hard-headed that, no, the numbers are there, my call is right. Well, right, okay, sure, I get that. But the guys just can't execute it. You got to find something else.
Right. I mean, that's the one thing. Like, Luke Getsy does adjust, I think, game to game. And he adjusted the entire offense last year, obviously. And he's done some of that, giving up on some of the strictly pocket stuff. So game to game, he can adjust. Can he adjust in game? I think that's where he struggles, to Patrick Manley's point. Olin Krutz is here as well. I'm Mark Grody. This is the Great Clips Postgame Show presented by Tullamore Dew. The Bears win. They beat the Vikings 12-10. We'll talk more about this game when we return, and we'll get to more calls as well. I see all you guys trying to get in. Definitely going to run through a whole bunch of calls coming up right around the corner as well, right here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
It's time for Pitch Hit and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Give the kids in your community a chance to flex their superpowers and they could earn a trip to the national finals of the 2025 World Series presented by Capital One. So go ahead, be the one who powers their dreams and sign up to host the local Pitch Hit and Run event. It's a free and fun way to promote baseball, softball, and your organization. To learn more, go to pitchhitrun.com.
It's time for the Great Clips postgame show. Great Clips, it's going to be great. Presented by Tullamore Dew. Because when it's game time, it's Tully time. Now, here are your hosts, Olin Krutz, Patrick Manley, and Mark Grody, filling in for Mully on Sports Radio 670 The Score. Always live on the free Odyssey app.
An unlikely but pleasing end to the game for the Chicago Bears. Bears win. Final score. From Minnesota, the Chicago Bears beat the Minnesota Vikings by a final score of 12-10. Cairo Santos with the game-winning field goal, only leaving a few ticks on the clock at the very end in a very chaotic ending to this game. As we do officially welcome you in to the Great Clips postgame show presented by Tullamore Dew, I am Mark Grody. Momentarily, we'll be joined by Patrick Manley and Olin Krutz. They will be reacting. I want to let you guys know, too, that we would love to hear from you as well on this postgame show. 312-644-6767. This is a good time to line up. Get in early. 312-644-6767. This game seemed to have been trending, gentlemen, in the direction of blown opportunities for the Bears off of their turnovers, but somehow, some way, the Bears win this game. Late in the game, Bears were up 9-3. All of a sudden, Josh Dobbs comes to life with a 17-yard touchdown pass to TJ Hockenson and makes it 10-9 Vikings. Bears get the ball back on a 3rd and 10. Justin Fields fumbled. It felt devastating, but the Vikings drive stalled on the Bears 45. Vikings did not have a good drive. Bears get the ball back with 2:30 left on their own 22. Justin Fields then redemption on a 3rd and 10, finds DJ Moore for 36 yards down to the 10-yard line, eventually setting up the Cairo Santos 30-yard field goal, and the Bears win. Olin Krutz, I will start with you, sir. What did you think of this game? Your first thoughts?
My first thoughts were that the defense was lights out, right? The defense now, I think that's 8 takeaways in the last 2 games. And just, held Dobbs. The Minnesota offense really couldn't do anything except for that one drive you mentioned where they went down the field. The Bears had some injuries in the secondary. But that trade for Montez Sweat started to look like a big trade. And then we keep asking for the ball in his hands at the end of the game. Can he make the play, right? 36 yards to DJ Moore. They win the game. Congratulations to them, man. I mean, hopefully, Pat, this starts to get loosen them up a little bit where they can play, where they realize they can win games and get this offense going. But to see Justin Fields fumble twice and then hit a big play to DJ Moore, that felt good for them, I'm sure, today in that locker room.
Yeah, my first reaction, guys, is thank God. I couldn't go through it again if they'd blown another game like they did last week. And it was nice to see Justin Fields bounce back from those two fumbles, because I'm sitting there watching TV. I'm like, no, young man, I just don't want this to happen to you. You want greatness. You want these guys to succeed. And we're talking about, Olin, you've been talking about it. I want to see him in the game moments, right? And he had two of them, and he had two fumbles. And then he comes back and makes that throw to DJ Moore and wins the game. And that's what you ask him to do. But again, if you evaluate him thoroughly, you don't want those fumbles. But, man, again, thank God he came through and pulled that game out. And, yeah, man, that defense – there's something. Okay, Minnesota is a mediocre team offensively now with Joshua Dobbs, but they dominated. So think about the last two games. They've only given up 23 points to this Minnesota team, one with Kirk Cousins at quarterback and the other one with Joshua Dobbs. But this defense is really coming together, and they're fun to watch. And, you know, they talk about takeaways come in bunches, and I think we've seen that. So like you said, Olin, 8 takeaways in two games. But what is concerning to me is 3 points off of 4 takeaways. And you just can't have that. That's not good enough. I don't care, about the Brian Flores defense or whoever it is. You've got to score more points there if you want to be more successful. But again, thank God we won the game.
Yeah, I mean, that's the absolute bottom line. Bears 12 and Minnesota 10. It is interesting when you dig into this game and the defense literally handing the ball to the offense throughout it and just coming up with 3 on a couple of occasions, too many times where the Bears offense early on just was not up to it. So I guess I'm going into the Justin Fields and this Bears offense as a whole conversation here right away, because although Justin Fields looked great on that final drive, the 36 yards, there was still too much that didn't happen in this game to where I'm not sure if I could check the box for Justin Fields in terms of this being convincing for his future with the Bears and the future in the NFL. What do you guys think?
Yeah,
no, definitely not. Yes. Right. Definitely not. I mean, we all know what we watch. We watch the offense struggle. We watch the defense put on a show. And I'll be honest with you, I've been a part of a lot of games like that here in Chicago. Right. And watching Jalen Johnson, even though he dropped that pick 6, close to the best player on the field tonight, man, dominating on his side of the field with tackles, covering his receiver, Montez Sweat, Yannick Ngakoue, Justin Jones, Javon Dexter. They gave that Vikings offensive line hell all night. TJ Edwards, Tremaine Edmonds, linchpins of this defense that we're watching take a step. Now, like you're saying, Grody, we're not going to go overboard here, right? We all know what we watched tonight. We watched the offense struggle mightily, right? They struggled mightily tonight. No, this is not the performance you wanted for Justin Fields. But, Pat, we've been asking for him to win the game at the end of the game. I'm hoping that gets him going a little bit, right? But today, for me, Pat, I don't know about you, too much of him in the pocket, right?
Yep.
Too much first down throws, too much not staying on schedule. After that first 9-minute drive, I thought they would just stick with that kind of game plan. It kind of went away from it. I thought Getsy struggled a little bit against Flores. And look, why Coach Flores went away from the blitz, that's up to him. I'm thankful he did.
Yeah, my biggest problem today was was Getsy. I mean, how many times did we see the screen game? You know, Trey Aikman was laughing at the end that the rookie was picking out that they were going to throw that, you know, little screen game to him. I understand they're trying to target DJ Moore. I think they targeted him. Well, he had 11 receptions, but I don't know how many targets it was. But they're trying to get in the ball. But to me, I was sick of it. You were seeing too many negative plays or zero gain yards on that play. I think I tweeted during the middle of the game, Roschon Johnson was rushing for 4.8 yards per carry. Mm-hmm. I would have liked to see more of the run game. Just line up and run it. I mean, that's your strength of the team. Just give them more of an opportunity up front to kind of run the ground game at him. I think Luke Getsy got, you know, beat by Brian Flores again, but they did come up with a win. But I just was not impressed with the game plan. You know, what we saw last week I thought was a step in the right direction. I understand you're going against a different defense, a different play caller with the blitzing and all that stuff,
But there's a lot of things that Getsy could have done to, I think, scored points. That'd be the answer.
Yeah, you know, Grody, some of those runs, as Pat knows, some of those screens, as Pat knows, are choiced by the quarterback, mm-hmm. right? They're zone reads. So the zone reads, and you have another. It's almost like a spread out triple option, right? And some of those, I'm sure Getsy will say, he thought Fields read wrong, and he shouldn't have thrown the pass. He should have either ran the ball or kept it on the run. So I'd be interested, Pat, to go back to the All 22 and see how many of those were actually called
right.
or were choiced by the quarterback to throw it out there to the receiver. But to the bigger point, right, the quarterback and the play caller are struggling together right now.
Mm-hmm.
And if you ask me, Flus has a decision to make up there at Halas Hall, man. I mean, like, what do we got now? Where are we? Five games left?
Yes.
With Justin Fields? I don't know what you think, Grode. I don't know what you think, Pat, but it's not working, right? It's not working right now on offense. It almost seems like they get to a point of calling plays for Justin Fields, and he's run out of ideas, right? And we don't need that with Justin Fields, right?
Right.
We don't need that. We need something else, something more creative, more quarterback runs, more things that Justin Fields can do, because right now they look stuck in the mud against teams like the Vikings.
Well, what I'll say is, like, again, the Justin Fields looked good at times on that very first drive where he had back-to-back plays where he bought time with his legs, found Khalil Herbert on one of them, found Roshan Johnson. One of those was a third down play as well. And that to me, I'm like, you do that. Like, you buy, because that is your superstar skill, your feet. So we saw him doing that and then finding guys. If he's able to do that consistently, the guy is going to be a star. But the problem is that he just doesn't do it consistently. And then I'll go to in the second quarter, the busted drive after the Jalen Johnson pick. It's 3-0 Bears. The Johnson takes it to around midfield. Kyler Gordon gets the taunting call for taking his helmet off. Two more penalties after that, and then the punt after Fields almost got Darnell Mooney killed on a third down play, on that third down where he waits too long to hit him and then overthrows him. So, that is like two like moments of you see some really good stuff and then bad stuff. And I realize a lot of the bad stuff, too, was within the penalties there, but they were just opportunities that you look at and say, how are you not capitalizing and how could you be so sloppy?
Yeah, and this team is not good enough to overcome those. I mean, every now and then Justin Fields will rescue you with his legs or whatever, but you just can't have that with this team right now. You can't have it with any team, really, but that's the sign of a bad offense when you're having penalties like that. You can't have that happen.
No, listen, I mean, we're not confused, right? That was a terrible game by the offense.
Mm-hmm.
Not enough points. Didn't put the ball in the end zone. And then, Cairo Santos missed that first field goal, right, which hurt them.
Mm-hmm.
They were a 9-minute drive. You miss a field goal, it takes some momentum away from you. They didn't move the ball enough after two drives, as Grody mentioned. But for a team that we've been saying for weeks now, they beat themselves, losers find a way to lose, all these things we've been saying. Today, they found a way to win, no matter what, you know, it's usually us complaining about why the hell did Flus go away from the blitz?
Right.
Right? Why did you get safe there? Well, now the Vikings, either their sports radio, I hope they have fun this week. I'm used to it, right? It's not going to be very fun. Trust me. You got to pick a part of the game. You got to find everything wrong. Justin Fields did not have a good game. You do not say tonight, well, with that, if you had the first pick of the draft, you don't take a quarterback. That wasn't erased tonight. But what was the question that was answered, Pat and Mark, is the question that we've been asking. Can they find a way to win? Winners win, right?
Mm-hmm.
They found a way to win. Can it start something for them or for Justin Fields is a question that you have as you go on through this season. Because when Hockenson caught that ball and Eddie Jackson didn't drive on him, we in our text chain, we said, what's going to happen when it's 10-9 and Justin Fields has the ball, right,
yep,
Pat?
Yep.
That's what we asked. And that was when it was 9-3, Grody. We asked that when it was 9-3. When it's 10-9, what's going to happen? Well, he hit last week Throw the damn ball to DJ Moore to win the game. Guess what they did today?
Yep.
Threw the damn ball to DJ Moore. Right? Yes. That happened today. I know everything else that happened during the game, but that did happen.
Now, we'll give a lot more love to the defense, too, but obviously these are the things that we've been talking about all season long. And, yeah, to your point, Justin Fields makes a play, because that's what we were screaming about last year. Somebody make a damn play. Now, I know that was on defense, but they did have that in this game. Fourth quarter, Kyler Gordon comes up with a big pick that could have gone to Justin Jones, who made the play, deflected it. It pops into Gordon's hands. So the difference between this week and last week was that you did have, in some regards, is that you did have guys making late plays in this game. And yes, the Bears won the game. Bears 12, Vikings 10. That is to be celebrated. Game-winning field goal for Cairo Santos of 30 yards to get the W for the Bears, who are now 4-8 on the season. The Vikings even at 6-6. As you are listening to the Great Clips postgame show presented by Tullamore Dew, along with Olin Krutz and Patrick Manley. I am Mark Grody, Sean Sears producing the show in our downtown Chicago studios, and we're taking your calls starting right now at 312-644-6767. I see all you guys lining up, and let's start with Mark in Lowell, Indiana. Hello, Mark. You're on the Score. Marky Mark. We don't have Mark. All right.
He's like the Bears
offense.
We'll
move on. Let's.
I'm here.
Oh, there he is.
Mark, what's up, man?
A little late to
Mark,
the show.
You got to make a play, man. You got to make a play, dude. Like, let's go.
I was like, I'm Poles. You see his face on TV. He's watching the game just like I am, saying, I give you all that talent, and that's all you can do with it. And I know he's going to bring more talent to this team, but he's watching that game like I am. Like, no, this coaching staff's got to go. That's my bottom line. I don't like them, and I don't know how you guys feel about it, but I know Pat, even his special teams, you can't even like that special teams that they put out there. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Pat. I'm gonna start with you. So, Pat, you can't like that special teams, could you?
No, I don't. I don't like the punt return yardage they gave up. I don't like the touchbacks and all that stuff on punt. But you know, this okay. You're talking about the coaching changes. That potentially could happen. But they have a five-game season left, right? And what happened today is you kind of got over the hump a little bit, I think, in that locker room, what you were talking about, Olin, earlier. They have a little bit of belief now. They believe they can go win a game. As we're sitting there at home thinking, how are they going to screw this up? They might be thinking the same thing on the sideline, but now they went out there and they won the game, and they now have some belief. So the next five games, be a little bit more fun for them. You know what I mean? Now they go out there, they can prove they can win a tight game, come from behind. Justin Fields pulled it out. So we'll see what they do with the next five games. There's going to be a whole lot more stuff talking about coaches being fired, GMs being fired, or whatever during the offseason. But right now, for the next five games, they gave themselves a little belief and saw themselves pull out a win.
Yeah, and you turn right around and you get the Lions and the Browns, right? Mm-hmm. And the Cardinals, and then you end with the Falcons and the Packers. So to Mark's point, man, I mean, just like Justin Fields is not off the hot seat after that performance tonight, the coaching staff isn't either, right? But we talked about in the pregame show, would Coach Flew's match up well? I thought the Vikings had an advantage on their coaching staff over the Bears coaching staff. Coach Flew's put on a show tonight, guys. He put on a show tonight calling the defense, getting his guys in position to make plays. His defense, Pat, me and you have seen this Cover 2, Tampa 2 style defense perform like this. Alex Brown and Lance Briggs always scolded me on post-game shows saying, Olin, it's takeaways. When you say turn it over, you're implying that the offense just gave it to us. They didn't. We took it away from them. And that's what the defense is doing right now. They're putting so much pressure on the offense that they're taking the ball away. Like you said, Grody, Kyler Gordon there to catch it. Jalen Johnson with a pick. He almost had another pick six. That would have been five interceptions. That is crazy, man, the amount of pressure and them getting after the ball that they have been doing the last 2 weeks. And even as bad as the Vikings are, remember the Lions' record, and they'll see the Lions again. But no one is saying, guys, that the coaches and Fields are off the hot seat.
No, but you go back to Flus, man. He's been calling some great games. I mean, he's dialing up blitzes where guys are coming scot-free, and that's coaching. You need both. You need guys to make plays. You need guys to and coaches to make plays. That's a coach making a play. So, you know, as we've talked maybe the last 5 weeks, Eberflus's defense has really stepped up, and now with Sweat being here, it's making a difference up front. Javon Dexter is making a difference up front. Olin, we talked about in the pregame,
I was nervous that maybe he would take a step back late in the season. Sometimes the rookies hit a wall and they're not ready to play these extra games that are, you know, extra games compared to what you've done in college. I've been impressed, and I was not impressed earlier in the season how he was playing, but I'm really impressed now how he stepped up his game. Now he looks like he's much more comfortable in this one gap scheme compared to his two gap scheme in college. So I got to give that young man credit as well. So that whole D line has really stepped up.
Yeah, we talked about in the pregame that we thought he should be starting, mm-hmm. right? Javon Dexter maybe should be starting there. And look, I know it's going to shock a lot of people, but if you go out and give someone a player who's worth $98 million, $98 million, it improves your defense, yeah. right? Same thing, you know, if you find somebody like that on offense, it'll improve your offense. And we keep talking about when you put these rosters up now, Grody, I'm sure you see the same things. When you put the Bears roster up against another team's roster, you say to yourself, you know what? This doesn't look that bad anymore, this matchup, right? Like, we've been talking about that, and they're starting to show that they do have talent on the field. The game was not good on offense. You know, Justin Fields, two fumbles, it looks bleak. And all of a sudden, you got Justin Fields, a first-round pick, throwing it to DJ Moore, another first-round pick. Players make plays at the end of games.
That's right, and Montez Sweat had just a badass sack on a third down. I believe it was in the first quarter, and he just manhandled the quarterback. I mean, it was great to see that out of Montez Sweat, especially early, just to say, yo, I'm here, after, you know, everybody wanted more from him, literally being on the field more. You guys talked about the Jalen Johnson pick, you know, beautiful catch, actually, on that one, where he goes up high, grabs it with both hands, and then was looking to take it as far as he could. We mentioned the Kyler Gordon pick in the fourth quarter. Second quarter, Jaquan Brisker grabbed a nice diving interception, which actually went off the hands of Jordan Addison, and then TJ Edwards with a pick off the Jalen Johnson deflection there, and forced them to go for a field goal at the time. So every interception had its story, and I wanted to make sure I gave props to all of those guys, because that is why they won the game. The defense wins the game, although Justin Fields, a massive pass to DJ Moore for 36 yards in the final seconds. Bears beat the Vikings 12-10 the final. We go to Dean in Wrigleyville. What up, Dean? You're on the score with Olin Cruz, Patrick Manley, and me, Mark Grody.
Moby, Ditka, great to be on the line with you. Olin, an honor, and Patrick Manley, love the long snapper IPA. Real quick, guys, I'm torn on a lot of this. I think Justin Fields looked fantastic early, and then there was that rough tackle. You know, I think there was like four penalties at that point. It looked like he got hit in the helmet, and it was kind of a rough tackle. I know this isn't a light tackle league. He wasn't suplexed, but he seemed a little dazed on the next thing. And then, you know, that I wonder if he was concussed. You know, then he had two fumbles later. I'm not going to blame any head injury on that. The defense was awesome. Four interceptions. They didn't get two of those fumbles. My main thing is Getsy needs to go. Before they hit the tarmac, they need to put him on a megabus or a Greyhound to Chicago. There's no way Luke Getsy should be getting on that plane. Screen left, screen right was literally, I don't know the numbers, 35, 40% of the play calls. You have DJ Moore. Send the ball down the field. Mooney was looking fine. St. Brown looked fine. He had some great blocks. You know, throw him into the mix. The other thing is, I'm worried about Eberflus. I mean, does he keep the job with this defense? You know, the defense looks great. But, again, Getsy needs to go. Do you keep Eberflus? It's a tough one. And then lastly, you know, I'm watching this, talking to my buddies on the chat threads. You know, we all wanted to win this game, right? And you guys had said it earlier. You know, a win is a win is a win. But isn't the fourth or fifth pick worth more than the eighth pick? It's all moot if we're keeping Justin Fields, but then that's another question.
Right. Thanks for the call, man. I'm sorry to cut you, but we are up against the break. Is that you laughing over there, Olin?
Yeah, man. It's, you know, it's, as Dean is saying, it's complicated. You know, it's a complicated issue, but I'm going to enjoy the win anyway.
100%. Yes. So are they in that locker room. Yeah. But he did have an interesting point, though, about Justin Fields and being concussed. And I know the play he's talking about where he did hit his head on the turf. And I thought the TV did a great job of zeroing in on his eyes on the next play. Do you guys notice that? That they kind of showed him, like, you know, looking around the field. And I was wondering the same thing.
was he concussed? Because he did hit his head on the ground, and they showed his eyes, and he looked completely dialed in. Olin, we've been around enough guys who've been concussed, and we know what they kind of look like. And, you know, that made me feel better that they did that kind of shot, and it showed he was fine. So, I don't think he was concussed.
Listen, I stayed at a Motel 6 last night, but I'm no doctor.
Yeah, exactly.
That's Olin Krutz, and that is Patrick Manley. I am Mark Grody. This is the Great Clips post-game show presented by Tullamore Dew. It's a Bears win. Bears 12, Vikings 10. Bears with four takeaways, four interceptions in this game. They only scored 3 points off of them, so we're keeping it real here. It's a win. It's a win, and some really cool things happened at the end, but the overall, this was not particularly convincing. I'm going to ask the guys a little bit more about Luke Getsy and what kind – did he have a good game? Did he have a bad game? I'm going to ask Olin Krutz and Patrick Manley that when we return. Plus, we're going to get to a bunch of your phone calls. We get to be with you talking about this Bears win until midnight tonight. So keep the calls coming, 312-644-6767. It's the Bears winning postgame show on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
We're back with more of the Great Clips postgame show. Great Clips, it's going to be great. Presented by Tullamore Dew. Because when it's game time, it's Tully time. Now, here are your hosts, Olin Krutz, Patrick Manley, and Mark Grody, filling in for Mully on Sports Radio 670 The Score. Always live on the free Odyssey app.
Third down and 9 as a result of the first two plays. And now a sack for Montez Sweat. Traded from Washington at the deadline. They've locked him up for a four-year extension, and he gets his second sack with the Bears, a loss of 8. It's fourth down.
Yeah, big sack on third down from Montez Sweat way back in the first quarter of what turned out to be a Bears win. Bears 12, Minnesota 10. The Bears did dominate a lot of these statistical categories, but there were some very disappointing things with the offense in this one. 3 points off of four takeaways and just a lot of frustrating moments, despite one of the great moments of the game, and that was the third and 10 Justin Fields pass to DJ Moore for 36 yards to get the ball down to the 10 and set up the Cairo Santos game-winning field goal with time running out. The Bears win by 2. And I'm going to ask Olin Krutz and Patrick Manley more about Luke Getsy here in a second, but I want to go back to the phones here because a lot of people want to jump in, so we'll start with a call and then we'll talk about Luke Getsy. Let's get to Calvin in Chicago Heights. What's up, Calvin? You're on the score with Krutz, Manley, and Grody.
How are you guys doing tonight?
Great, man.
I'm really confused about the fact that you guys it was good they won the game, but was Justin Fields calling the plays tonight?
No.
Well, I keep hearing you guys say, well, we don't know if he's the guy or we need to move on from him. Doesn't he call the plays that Getsy was calling, the play calling? So that's what I'm trying to figure out.
I got you. You're saying you do not like Luke Getsy. You don't like the way he called the game?
Yeah, but you're saying that we still don't know if Justin Fields is the guy. He's only doing what the coach is telling him to do.
But he did have two fumbles in the fourth quarter, correct?
I understand that.
Yeah, but I'm just saying this too. He did. So when I love what I wanted to do is see him win, right? And he did. He finally came through in the fourth quarter. But if you're evaluating an entire game, an entire individual, you have to take everything into account. I'm very happy he won that game. But if you're evaluating for his future for the Bears and everything, you would hope he wouldn't have those fumbles, that he would win the game maybe a little bit easier of not turning those balls over, you know, winning it just kind of maybe in a fourth quarter, a 4-minute offense of just running out the clock because they get the other field goal and go up 12-3 or whatever at that time. So it's just a big evaluation of him. I'm happy the young man came through at the end. I really am, and I hope he continues to grow from that. But, yeah, it's not all on him. Luke Getsy, I don't think, called a great game either. But he didn't play a perfect game. He didn't play a good game. He played a mediocre game. But in the end, he did win the game, and that's a fact.
I think to your point, Pat, and to also what Calvin's talking about, and when you brought up those two fumbles, that was just, you know, that's like bringing out the ace of spades when you're playing spades. But
what about the fumbles?
I think maybe it's time to find out. You know what I mean? And you hate talking about a guy, Coach Getsy losing his job or whatever it may be. But we know that marriage just isn't working between him and Justin Fields.
Yes.
And I don't know if the Bears have time to wait, right? I don't know. You have five games left. You have to draft. You know, you're going to get a high pick in the draft. You might be considering a quarterback. We'll see what happens here in these last five games and where the Bears all end up. But you're going to have to make a decision on Justin Fields at the end of this year. And as we're saying, he threw that ball at the end. There were some plays in here today, right? There was the 4th and 10 that Eberflus went for on a second drive and hit Cole Kmet. That's a big play, but not enough of them. The two fumbles have you worried about Justin Fields. We have to find out now, is Getsy calling bad plays or is Justin Fields not making plays?
Right.
And I think it's fair to say, and I know this is the cop-out answer, but clearly there is a combination of that. You want to pick apart Luke Getsy's game tonight? Absolutely. I totally get it. I understand it. But you know, you think about the timing of the fumbles, too. These are not like early you can recover from fumbles, and the Bears did recover, but you don't usually recover. Let's face it, the Vikings did not play well tonight. That did not look like a good football team the Bears were playing tonight. But in the fourth quarter, Kyler Gordon gets the pick off of Justin Jones, and then the Bears get the ball right there. That's when you're supposed to make a play. Fields comes up with a fumble at that point, and that's just an absolute killer. And then all the other times in this game today where the defense set the offense up time after time after time with really good field position, and the best they were able to get out of those opportunities was a couple of field goals, and it was bad. It was bad, and it was sloppy, and there was more to it than just Justin Fields. But this is not a game, unfortunately, where I check the box for Justin Fields, and I want Justin Fields to succeed. Well, let's go to Dave in Slinger, Wisconsin. What's going on, Dave?
Hi, Mark, Alden, and Pat. How are you guys?
We're good.
Dave, what's up, man?
We finally beat somebody in our division, and now after this win, let's think of the game ahead. We've one game at a time, but let's get Detroit and let's beat Green Bay. We finally beat somebody in our division. You think this team can start a win streak, and maybe we're not going to make the playoffs, but get good picks in the future, I think, looks bright for the Chicago Bears. What do you think?
Well, thanks for the call. And, Olin, it's too bad the Bears blew the Detroit game, because that's exactly where you could have been heading right now. I mean, you mentioned the schedule. This is they get their bye now. They get Detroit at home, which obviously will be challenging. But I think that you have to like the Bears' chances in that based on what they did to Detroit last time. Then they're at Cleveland, home Arizona, and Atlanta, and then at Green Bay. You know, there's not a whole lot. And I know Cleveland's been good, but these are winnable games, I think. So it is too bad they blew the game against Detroit in terms of actually stacking wins, if people want to talk about that.
Yeah, and stacking wins in your division, right? And
yeah,
they can
yeah.
do that next week. And you're right, Mark, and Dave's right too. The Lions are a team they dominated in Detroit, right? They dominated them for 3.5 quarters and then lost the game. So they even though they lost a game, they have to feel good about the Lions coming to Chicago next week at noon, and they have to feel good about their matchup in that game. You know, I saw DJ Moore. You just at this time of the year, Pat, as you know, you're always worried about guys being bumped up. So we'll see what their injury report looks like come Monday or Tuesday. But if they are fully healthy, they do match up well against these Lions, and they proved that. And you know, the one good thing, Pat, even though it's crazy to say it, I thought it happened was they got in a position where they couldn't play it safe with Justin Fields. They had to put the ball in his hands, and he had to throw the ball down the field, and it was good to see them do that.
Yeah, it was great. And then, you know, they got the bye week, so maybe they can heal up a little bit here. But I think the biggest question is, if they do go on a little bit of a run here, is Eberflus' job already gone? Does he save his job? Does he save anybody else's job? What is Kevin Warren going to do? What has he already evaluated? I don't know if they've dug themselves so deep that it doesn't matter what happens. You know what I mean? Maybe just Ryan Poles wants it to just the guys to continue to grow, and then they're going to work with a different coordinator, a different head coach, or whatever. So I don't know where they stand in that regard, but I think just for that locker room and building for the future, because most of those guys are going to be coming back, When you start stacking those wins, you get that confidence. I talked about it earlier. Now you've got over the hump now, the Justin Fields. You've got a win. You pulled one through, and you feel a little bit more confident in each game going into those situations. So it's good growth for the team, but I think the biggest question is who's coming back as far as coaches, general manager, where are they going in that direction? But for the next five games, it'll be nice to see them keep growing because they do have some winnable games.
Right, and what will Kevin Warren's part in all of this be as well? Where will he exactly impose his will? And that's something that I want to talk with you guys about later. We got to take a break. But, you know, I've talked about this a couple of times over the last week while it was the holidays and everything's kind of, you know, people are changing their habits and all. But Albert Breer of Sports Illustrated saying that, you know, that he believes that Ryan Poles wants more power on the football side of things, which is A-okay with me. But we'll talk about that a little bit later on. Much to discuss still about this Bears win. Bears beat the Vikings 12-10. One thing we do eventually have to get into is we talked a little bit about the decisions defensively for the Vikings and Flores not putting much heat on Justin Fields towards the end of that game. And the other thing that I know they're talking about in Minnesota, and I want to pick your guys' brains on this, was the Vikings going for it on 4th and 7. And that's on Kevin O'Connell, so I want to figure out what you guys think about that and more of your calls at 312-644-6767. I'm Mark Grody. This is the Great Clips postgame show presented by Tullamore Dew. Bears beat the Vikings 12-10. More coming up on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Lining up on that Viking logo at the 49 of Minnesota, Chicago 3rd and 3. Fields in the gun, moves his receiver, shotgun snap, backpedals 7, winds up, winds right past near side, caught 39-yard line, near sideline, grabbed by Moore, then quickly brought down in the play by Blackman. On the near sideline, at the 40 of the Vikings, a strike of 10, a first down for Chicago.
Yes, we got ourselves a pass play. 10-yard out down the field, nice throw as the corner was falling off. Good throw right on the numbers of DJ Moore to protect him from that hit and get the first down.
All right, welcome back to the postgame show. The Chicago Bears finally win a game. We started the show with my reaction of saying, thank God. But the Bears only had 3 points off of 4 takeaways. Olin, it feels good to win finally. I mean, it's been a while for that team to win a game. You go in a bye week and you get a win. I mean, what did that? You know, how good is that for you going into a bye week when you finally get a win? You get to enjoy the time off, and it just feels better going into meetings.
It really does. And to answer a few questions, right? And the defense came out, and we talked earlier in the show about the performance they put on and the performance Coach Eberflus put on and win one. For your coach who's been under a lot of fire. And as we know, Pat, you hear the things people say, mm-hmm. right, about your coach, about firing him, moving on, and all of a sudden you put on a performance where you only give 10 points up there in Minnesota. We all know that's not Minnesota's starting quarterback, but you can only play who they put on the field. And then Justin Fields answers the question at the end of the game that I know I've been and we've been posing for weeks. Can he win a game late with the ball in his hands? He hasn't done that a lot in the last few. Well, they haven't done a lot of winning, period, in the last 2 years. But just to win a game, we've talked about earlier in this show that we've all seen what that game was, what happened in that game. We all seen how bad that offense looked. We all saw the 2 fumbles, but the defense was dominant, mm-hmm. and the offense made the play at the end to win the game.
Now, real quick, Gertie, you know, Olin, I'm here reading the text screen, and they're getting on us about you're still ripping Justin Fields. You know, some people say I hate Justin Fields. Some people say, you know, whatever's going on with Justin Fields. But you have to look at the big picture. This man is competing and playing for basically a $200 million contract. You know, yes, I want him to win. But if I'm grading him, if I'm Ryan Poles, if I'm the Bears organization, you got to look at everything. Those 2 fumbles to me are part of the game. You know, they could have not walked away with the game, but it would have been a little different ending. Maybe he didn't have to win it in the final 2 minutes. But I just want to get my point across to the listeners who think I hate on Justin Fields. I don't. I want him to be great. I want him to be the answer. But the thing is, like I just said, you want him to be great. I just don't want him to be good. I want him to be consistent. I want him to be the guy you win games because of, not with. In this game today, I thought last week was much better. Today he won the game. He checked that little box. But if you're going to be great, you've got to check all the boxes. And that's what I want to see.
Yep, you need touchdown drives. Touchdown drives. And that was not going on during this game with great field position on way too many occasions. After each and every one of those picks, the Bears were in prime spots to drive and score touchdowns, and they were not able to. So, yeah, it is a delicate balance here tonight. There's no doubt the Bears win this game. It, you know, 12-10, the final score, four takeaways, but they only scored 3 points off of those takeaways. We're not just going to forget that that happened, nor will we forget that Justin Fields found DJ Moore for 36 yards down to the 10-yard line. That was a big-time clutch play, guys, and he deserves the plaudit for that, but you can't just, you know, turn the other way when it comes to the big picture in this game. Are you going to beat good teams like that? No, you're not.
No, and Olin, if you could do me a favor, do us a favor, the listeners, you educate us a little bit of, you know, I talked about the screen calls. Were those thrown out there because they stacked the box and that's what they were supposed to do? Could you maybe explain what those calls are and maybe if they weren't just called screens, of why they happen?
Some of them were called screens, obviously. You know, when they get behind the sticks, they play it safe, which sometimes you don't want to see with a young quarterback, right? Like where the Bears are in the process of deciding what Justin Fields is to them. I just don't really like seeing those plays a lot, Pat, right? I want to see him either process information, move around the pocket, make a play like he did early in the game, right? We're talking about that 4th and 10, yep, where he negotiated the pocket, Kokomet fake, like he blocked, released, and caught a 24-yard pass. But to your question, Pat, on some of these ones that he's popping out there to the receivers, it's almost like a triple option, mm-hmm, right? Either it's a zone read, basic zone read, give the ball to the running back, read one of the defenders, or Fields keeps it, or by pre-snap, it's just, they call it basketball out there, right? If it's 2-on-3, you have three guys and you can block, you whip it out there to DJ Moore. Earlier in the game, you remember it could have been St. Brown having good blocks on those.
Yes.
And then Minnesota kind of figured it out, almost baited him, Fields, by giving him a pre-snap look into throwing it out to his receivers and then running somebody over there real quick. So to your point, Pat, a lot of those that a lot of listeners and people on the watching the game are yelling about screens that Getsy is calling. It's really a triple option decision by the quarterback. Where are the numbers? Is the numbers in the box? Do I keep it or do I pop it out to my wide receivers?
And to me, the idea is there, right? The idea, mm-hmm, of the numbers and making those throws, but then you got to see as the game goes along that the guys aren't making the blocks. The guys aren't executing. So if I'm a coordinator and I'm realizing that they're not working, my call is not working, my guys can't block it, they can't execute it, you've got to find something different. That's just my opinion, and I think that's sometimes coordinators or coaches, they get too hard-headed that, no, the numbers are there, my call is right. Well, right, okay, sure, I get that. But the guys just can't execute it. You got to find something else.
Right. I mean, that's the one thing. Like, Luke Getsy does adjust, I think, game to game. And he adjusted the entire offense last year, obviously. And he's done some of that, giving up on some of the strictly pocket stuff. So game to game, he can adjust. Can he adjust in game? I think that's where he struggles, to Patrick Manley's point. Olin Krutz is here as well. I'm Mark Grody. This is the Great Clips Postgame Show presented by Tullamore Dew. The Bears win. They beat the Vikings 12-10. We'll talk more about this game when we return, and we'll get to more calls as well. I see all you guys trying to get in. Definitely going to run through a whole bunch of calls coming up right around the corner as well, right here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.